guys, this is Jedi. I just wanted to let you know that your first podcast was absolutely fantastic. Congratulations to Saratech and to Saratalk. I've been a user of Saratech for just a short while. While my two cents doesn't usually mean all that much, I definitely appreciate what you guys offer. I'll definitely be thinking twice about that braille display technology you have. Spend a little more than 2 cents on it, but I'm really excited. So you guys did a fantastic job, and bon voyage. I hope the podcast does well. I hope to hear from you folks at some point. I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Never underestimate the power of accessibility anywhere, because accessibility is a right, not a privilege.
Welcome to the Saratalk Podcast.
Saratalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Saratalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.saratalk.com,
a production of Saratech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Saratalk.
Hello, this is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And this is Mike Calvo.
Hey, it's the second Saratalk Podcast. How cool
it's
is
It's number
that?
Two!
Yay! Oh. But we're number one.
And who says it's not better after the first time, right?
That's right. It's always better the second time. Anyway, let's not get started there.
Hey, this is our holiday special, where we're going to talk about some very exciting things. We have a group of people that are going to tell us about some of their favorite websites they'd like to go to, give us some holiday safety tips for secure and safe online transactions.
That's a killer, killer gift.
Indeed.
Holiday gift I'm going to tell you guys about today, too.
Now, when you say killer gift, is this something for yourself, our loved one?
Well, I already have one. If not, I'd tell you buy one for me. It's a really cool gift, but we'll go into it later.
Mike, you just got back from Minneapolis.
I did. It was really cold. Well, comparatively speaking, I mean, I live in Florida. Our main office is in Minnesota, don't you know? And it's a great place to visit during the holidays because, you know, there's snow on the ground and it's really cold. I was actually out there visiting with HandyTech North America with Earl Harrison and Kelly Dunn and their crew out there and checking out their brand new state-of-the-art facility for training blind folks on adaptive technology. And they do train on System Access. They train on Window Eyes. They train on a bunch of other reading type stuff. They have a whole store. It's a 4,000 square foot facility. It's a pretty big place.
Wow.
It's really cool. And I hear their rates are awesome. They do work with state services. I mean, you know, you guys may know Earl. The voice is pretty infamous throughout the years in adaptive technologydom, and he is one of our leading System Access resellers. I mean, the guy's just awesome. Now that he's affiliated with HandyTech, and he is the exclusive distributor of HandyTech North America for their braille displays, some very interesting things could be happening in the future, but you didn't hear it from me.
It's such a tease you are.
Yeah.
I know.
Check them out at handytech.us, I believe their website is.
It is, yes.
And they will definitely treat you right. Today is version 3.0 day. Now, those of you that are on System Access Mobile Network have already been playing with 3.0 for a while. But today, it's the real day. It's the first day that 3.0 really hits the street officially. And Matt's been stomping those bugs. Down, bug! Down! It's finally hit the street, the seamless web installation that we talked about in the last podcast. So it is available. It's ready. Come and get it.
So anyone listening to this before midnight on Monday, December 1st, midnight Eastern, gets a little discount, I understand. Tell them about that.
That's right, Michael. On Friday, a $200 discount off of just about everything we sell. We're going to give you a discount, and it's actually a really awesome discount. If you were to buy, for example, System Access Mobile, which would normally run you $499, you can pick it up for the amazing low, low price of only
$299.
Two computers, a key that we can take to any other machine, the best screen reading technology, all for $299.
That's right. Award-winning. AFB Access Award winning for 2008. It's really cool. Da Vinci Award winning for 2005. Give the gift of accessibility anywhere. If you buy our packages that include the netbooks, the $9.99 package is going to be at $7.99, and of course the $11.99 package is going to be at $9.99. treat yourself, treat your friends, buy a couple, you know.
We're talking the access technology and the computer, the hardware and
total
the software.
Total mobility.
Yeah, people. The total mobility includes that and the service as well. And what you're going to experience as part of the community is what Michael is about to play for you, which was a chat that was held with other blind folks just talking about, hey, this is what we like to do for shopping, and this is what we enjoy. You know, I've got a couple of website recommendations, Michael. I would suggest buy.com. That's BUY.com. It's a really killer website. It's accessible. They've got great products, and I am a very big believer in buying refurbished electronics. I rarely buy brand new electronics. I find that the refurbished electronics are actually better because they've worked the kinks out. For other things that you'd want to buy for TVs and stuff, they've got great deals on TVs and on GPS stuff and on audio stuff and just great stocking stuffers and cameras and all kinds of stuff. Overstock.com, of course, is always a good one. My favorite way of finding bargains is the Google Shopping or frugal.com, froogle.com. And also, of course, pricegrabber.com is a great place. Don't just buy it in the first place you find. Shop, shop, shop. Take your time because there are some great deals.
Saturday, November 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern. We talked for a little over an hour, and we've narrowed it down to about 35 minutes of the best conversation. Ricky and Brian and myself from Cerotech and three other guests who joined us. Great discussion. A lot of great websites are mentioned. We hope you'll stay tuned and write those down. Or better yet, just go to cerotalk.com and every link mentioned will be there so you can go and check out the respective website.
And the best part about it is all the $200 that you save during this Black Friday or Black Friday week, for those of you who are current customers, you can take that $200 and spend it on all the cool sites that we will talk about in the next segment here.
Let me tell you about my gift before we go.
Yes.
Yes, gift.
About a year and a half ago, I purchased myself a Tassimo coffee maker. This is an incredible coffee maker. It is very blind friendly. Tassimo is one of these one cup coffee makers. You take this little disc and you put it in the coffee maker. What the coffee maker does is it reads the disc. It basically tells the coffee maker what the heat should be, what the water temperature should be, you know, how long it should run it through the pump and all this other stuff. And there's 40 different varieties of coffee. You can make lattes with this thing. You can make hot chocolate. You can make chai tea, espresso, regular coffee. And you've got stuff from Starbucks, from Gavalia, inexpensive as Maxwell House, which I couldn't imagine who would want Maxwell House because I don't like Maxwell House. There's a lot of very cool coffees available. The cost per cup is excellent. You can buy this at Amazon.com. Get the new one. Get the Bosch one. There's two different versions available made by Bosch. There was an older one made by Braun. The newer one is quieter. It makes a cup of coffee faster. I no longer have blood. It's just coffee and hot sauce. They're $129 if you want the filter, the water filter, if you have like really hard water. I have a water processor thing in my house. I didn't need that, so I got the $99 version. And that's really inexpensive. And then you can get to Tassimo Direct, and they'll ship you the coffee every month. Brian has one, and I think a couple of the other people on staff have them. A great product for yourself or for someone else, anyone who really loves coffee. The Tassimo is awesome. It's not real techie, but it is very simple to use, and it is very blind-friendly. You put the disc in there, you push the button on the front, and that's it. And when you're done, you take the disc, you throw it in the garbage, and there's no mess, no nothing. You put your cup under the spigot, it drops the water in there and the coffee, you're ready to drink your coffee. But everybody have a happy Thanksgiving here in the U.S. Those of you that are listening in other countries, we're having lots of turkey and being the gluttonous Americans that we usually are on Thanksgiving because we need to be thankful. Don't keep it for yourself. Remember the hungry, remember the homeless, and especially this time of year, let us stop and remember, pray for our country, pray for our leaders. Do make an effort, if you have, to share with others who do not. Sometimes, especially those who have always had and now find themselves in a very difficult time, it's just hard to say, you know, we don't have. So just kind of say, hey, what are you doing for Turkey Day? You know, you want to spend it with us? Bless somebody on Thanksgiving this year.
Thank you for calling the Cerotalk Blab Line.
please leave a message about anything concerning the Serotalk.com podcast. By leaving a message, you acknowledge that your voice may or may not be used in an upcoming podcast. And if you haven't done so, we do ask that you think about exactly what you want to say. This will help users get the most from your words. With that said, tell us what's on your mind. Ideas for a new segment, useful software and websites, or did we get something wrong? So give us your 2 cents right now.
Hey guys, from Serotalk, Mr. Calvo, the crazy Cuban from Florida, Steve Guerra for ILA. I just have to say I was able to use your system access software to register and sign up and maintain a Facebook account without any side of the systems. Of course, independence is always the greatest thing on earth for any individual with low vision or no vision.
Since we're talking about the holidays, I thought I'd catch up with someone who has quite a bit of extensive knowledge about transactions and trying to resolve disputes. And what better organization than the Better Business Bureau? And today, I'm in the office of the Evansville, Indiana location. Of course, you can check them out at BBB.org. And beside me here today is Mr. Tom Bozikas, who, like myself and most people listening to this program, is also visually impaired. And Tom's done very well for himself. He's the Vice President of Operations in this organization. And also, they have a very excellent site for consumer education called what else but BBBConsumerEducation.com. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me this morning, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
I guess the first thing to discuss, as many people often ask, what is the BBB? What do you do?
The BBB is an organization. We handle disputes between consumers and businesses against other businesses. We try to seek resolution between both parties, if that's at all possible, through our dispute resolution program, whereby consumers send us information about a complaint regarding a company, and then we present that info to the company for their response. We try to get the company to respond directly to us, and we act as an impartial intermediary between both parties.
So the important key there is it is voluntary cooperation. A business does not have to answer to you, but most do, I assume.
That is correct.
Let's explain that dispute resolution a little bit. I have a problem with a business. Maybe I was billed for something I didn't order, or I get the wrong merchandise, did not receive the product, and I want to utilize your services. What's the process? Most people listening to this are online, so what would they do?
Easiest thing to do is to go to our website of BBB.org, get your browser over to the link that says file a complaint, click there, and then the complaint form will appear. Just click the proper boxes, because you're going to be presented with some check boxes, first of all, and then from there you can talk about the company, and if the company is already in their database, you can let them know that and just start filling out the report that you have. Hit the submit button, you're good to go.
Okay, then once the submit button is hit, what happens? What's the general process?
The BBB receives that complaint. It is then reviewed, validated, and the complaint sent on to the business for their response. They are allowed 14 days from that point to respond back to the BBB. A number of companies will do that even before the 14 days. Then we submit that back to the consumer for their response.
So then what, they get a rebuttal, if you will, where they can say, I'm not happy with the response, and then, you know, can they rebut that, or is that pretty much it?
No, they can. They can send a rebuttal back in, then send that rebuttal back to the company for their response.
Okay, and then we won't go into it here because it does get kind of involved, but in certain situations, then you can also offer arbitration, right, where a third-party person would hear it, but there's a lot of criteria that have to come into effect there, I guess.
Right, and each BBB is different.
Okay, yeah, that's one thing to understand. There's, what, about 126 throughout the U.S. and Canada, something like that? So there are some standard guidelines that they all adhere to, and then each has a little bit of individuality in the way that they approach some of their issues. But
yes,
that complaint
correct.
Process is standard. Well, let's talk about some of the gotchas, some of the things that happen during the holidays, but maybe throughout the year as well. People not reading the terms of service or return exchange policies. Big one is something called the 3-day rule, I guess applies in very limited situations. Some people mistakenly believe that they have 3 days to cancel any transaction and therefore buy things they wouldn't normally if they knew that that has limitations. So maybe explain that 3-day rule.
Well, the three-day rule is just simply that for a product or service that you purchase in your home, let's say you have a contractor come in to do repairs, or you have somebody that's selling door-to-door and they want to sell you a product and you sign up for that product, as long as it's more than $25, according to the Federal Trade Commission guidelines, then you have 3 business days in which to cancel that contract. In Indiana, and I think just about every place else, the day on which you sign the contract constitutes the first day. And then you have until midnight the third day to cancel. And most people get the idea that they can go into a store, they can even go to an auto dealership and purchase a vehicle, whether it's new or used, and then after 3 days say, you know what, I don't like this product, I'm going to take it back. The answer is no, you can't. Depending on what the policy is of the store, and you have to ask what their return policy is, if there is any. Some places don't offer that.
That definitely varies from state to state, so you have to check your laws, because in some states, all sales are final, and it's up to the stores, and in other states, there are some more specific guidelines. So that does not include things like if we initiate a transaction, is that correct? So if I call a toll-free number to buy something and their predominant method of doing business is by the telephone or going to a website, I initiate my own purchase on a website, that would not constitute the 3-day cancellation, would it?
No, it would not. That's right. Outside the 3-day rule.
Okay, and what are some things that we should keep in mind before buying on a website, a company we've never bought from before? I know one of the things people say, go look at the contact page. You know, make sure there's a physical address or a phone number. Because what if you can't reach the company? What are some things we can do?
Those are very good points. The other thing is you want to make sure that the site is a secure site. Go up to the address bar and make sure that the letters HTTPS, which does indicate that it is a secure site. And also look for trust marks. One of the ones to be somewhat self-serving that is probably one of the premier trust marks in the system out there is the BBB reliability seal. Not only is the seal visual, but it also will display the words BBB online and indicate the company is a BBB accredited business. You can click on that and it'll get you to a page that verifies that they are a BBB accredited. You'll have another link presented that you can click to get their actual report from the BBB. So those are some ways to verify that a company is reliable. You'd want to check their privacy policy out, too, to make sure they're not going to take your info and sell it to somebody else. Thereby, you're going to be getting a lot of spam emails because of that, or unwanted mailings, or other kinds of communication from a third party.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you could even have issues of what some of these buying clubs where you buy and you're agreeing, if you're not paying attention, to use some third-party service, maybe offers a monthly fee for discount coupons or just start receiving unwanted merchandise. So what should we do for that?
We get that a lot where somebody's been inadvertently signed up for something because they purchased a product. And it's really difficult to get that straightened out. Best thing to do is once you do find out that that's happened, you may want to even call your local BBB and get some information about that company. Or there again, go to the website. Sometimes this is kind of hidden. You really don't know the third party that you're dealing with. You may need to call someone else and see if they can give you some more information on whatever limited contact info that you may have.
So certainly read your terms of service there, privacy policy, or as we said, check for the contact page and make sure there's a physical address or a phone number, all some basic things that all of us can do. A common term used a lot is called bait and switch, and we've seen stores that maybe even put something out knowing it's going to sell out in the first 5 minutes. I guess you do advertising review where sometimes you call businesses to task. Explain that process.
The problem with bait and switch is that that is something that to verify that and to actually handle an issue, it's not necessarily always noticed immediately inside of the advertisement, but it's one of those what we call point of sales type of complaints. And it would take a consumer complaining about that. Bait and switch not only is when they have limited product that they sell out of very quickly, but it's also you go into a store and they say, well, we got this item here, but we got this one over here that is even better. It's got more features on it. Yeah, it's more expensive, but it's a much better product than what you're looking at over here. That can be a form of bait and switch as well.
What other thoughts would you give consumers? Because I know when in the holidays, especially, people are in a hurry. So what do we need to take the time, no matter how busy or how quickly we think we need to get these purchases done? What are some common things we need to keep in mind, whether it's retail or online?
You want to protect your information that you have, whether you're using your credit card or debit card to make purchases. Make sure that you keep your receipts for returns, of course, in case you need that. Make sure that nobody else has gotten a hold of that information. Unfortunately, people have had their identity stolen as well as having their credit information stolen. So people make other purchases off of your credit card or a debit card. Something like that's happened, then immediately contact your card company. On the back of your card, you'll notice that there is a toll-free number to call. Just call that number and have them flag your account.
So definitely that credit card is a method for resolving disputes. Now, some people believe you should do everything online with a credit card. Of course, that's a personal decision. Some people don't believe in them. I had a billing problem not too long ago, and of course, I don't know where it was compromised. So check your bank account every other day because you have up to 2 business days to dispute an unauthorized transaction, or you might have to eat up to $500. Most people only check it when they have transactions going on. So if you don't buy something for a while, as I didn't think to check it. And all of a sudden there were these video game purchases on there. Some you have to fax an affidavit saying that you didn't make this transaction. In this particular case, I had to go to the bank, get a copy of it, go to the police station, get a report, and then take that back to the bank.
Yeah, I find the police report, from my understanding, is pretty common in cases like this. And so if anybody has any issues like that, be prepared to file an actual police report. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get reimbursement from your banking institution.
And I guess a lot of people wonder why you have to go to that extent, but unfortunately, there are situations of family members or individuals claiming fraud when it was really themselves. We have to pay the price for a few who exploit that. Any final thoughts? Anything else you'd like to address?
Some of the things that people have misconceptions about. One of the misconceptions that people have is that the BBB is part of the government, which we are not. We are a private agency. We report on businesses, and we can do so under the protection of the First Amendment. And what we report on is basically the company, when they began business, where they're located, who their contact people are, and if they've had complaint history, what that complaint history has been, what we've deal with here. We keep that information up for 3 years. So if there's been a complaint, we report on that complaint from today 3 years back. And after 3 years, that will come off. We don't want to make it so that you have a complaint on forever and ever, because that's really not fair to a company either. Companies do change, and their personnel change, and so the way that they deal with things can also change. With our accreditation process, we look at companies, we invite them to become accredited by the BBB, and they have to meet 14 different standards. They have to be clear of any pattern and volume of complaints, as well as law enforcement action that involves their marketplace conduct. And they have to be in an industry that is not suspect. That meaning something like a work-at-home offer, where you've got to pay money in order to get information to work at home, like stuffing envelopes or doing medical billing. Throw your money down the trash can because you're not going to get any money back.
There you go. You heard it right here on Cero Talk that stuffing envelopes is not a legitimate way to make money. Businesses become accredited and they do pay a fee to do so. And in exchange, that then there's really no cost to the consumer for filing the complaint in the Better Business Bureau trying to resolve the dispute.
Right. And of course, there's no cost to the consumer either way, whether the company is accredited or not. We're here to serve the public and there's no cost for that.
It's got to be a tough thing to do. I mean, because you have consumers probably on occasion trying to exploit a business, or businesses on occasion trying to get over on a consumer, or maybe no one really done anything wrong, but it's just a breakdown in communications, or maybe businesses resent having to do complaints. So it must be a tough job. Certainly my hat's off to folks who, like yourself, who do this kind of work.
Yeah, those things do happen. But thankfully, we have some good cooperation between consumers and businesses here. We have about a 90% or better resolution rate.
Resolution, you mean 90% that respond, or 90% where the consumers are satisfied at the end of the day?
I think what we have to look at when we talk about the resolution, What we do here is to look at those complaints, and sometimes the company does do everything that they feasibly can do and is still left unsatisfied with the results. But we look at them and say, you know, the company did really make a good faith effort in trying to get this thing resolved. And so then we close that as being administratively judged as resolved. Very few companies, it's only about 8% or so, don't even bother to respond. And that results with their report being unsatisfactory automatically.
Final comments here?
Maybe the fraudulent checks that people might get. You're going to get these checks, and usually they're postmarked out of Canada. They could be in the range of $2,900 up to $3,900, $4,900. And it's either to do mystery shopping or for a sweepstakes or a lottery that you didn't even participate in. Problem is that the checks are fraudulent, they're counterfeit, and if you cash the check, you're responsible for paying your bank back that money. You could suffer also a fee for passing a bad check. Then there's also fees for any overdraft that you made after you have deposited that check. You can check out our blog. We have an article about that.
Tom, I want to thank you very much for taking time out this morning to speak with us and all the folks listening on the Cero Talk podcast. I'm sure it'll be very useful. Again, BBB.org, Better Business Bureau, and of course their Evansville, Indiana offices blog at BBBConsumerEducation.com.
Cerotech wants to give you $200 for the holidays. Now through December 1st, get $200 off purchases of $399 or more. System Access 3.0, access to any computer, affordable document scanning, NeoSpeech, System Access Mobile Network, or how about a netbook pre-configured with speech? Some restrictions apply. Treat yourself today. Visit www.cerotech.com. Call toll-free 866-202-0520.
Hi, all you Sarah talkers. It's Mike Sarah calling from Canada, Ontario. I was very impressed with your first podcast. That was really well done. A splendid start to what I hope will be a long and ongoing resource. You guys really know how to keep it fun, keep it lively. I'm a JAWS user, and I got a lot out of that. That was just really fun to listen to. Thanks especially for talking about those netbooks. That was really helpful. I'm actually thinking seriously about getting one of those. You guys are really into this digital lifestyle thing, and that really is something we have in common. I'm also a bit of a crusader. Just finished a guide back in June that I published called Personal Power. I hope it is of some benefit to you and your clients. It's completely free out on the Internet. Blind Cool Tech actually has it now, so if you search for Personal Power in Google, you'll probably come up with it in pretty short order. Hope that's at least half as inspiring to you as your podcast is to me. Great resource. It's going to help a lot of people, and not just Cerotech customers, but a lot more people. Thanks a lot, everyone. Good job. Bye for now.
Let's listen to this excellent conversation where people share a lot of great websites and safety tips for online shopping.
My name is Mike, and I am from St. Louis, Missouri. When the time comes, I'll point out to you some sites to buy some cell phone stuff and computer stuff and some fragrances, actually, if you're into that, cologne or perfume stuff, because I am a cologne collector.
I'm Ricky. I'm here in North Carolina. When I'm not hard at work at Cerotech, I am hard at work doing lots of online shopping. It's one of my favorite pastimes, so hopefully I'll have some interesting info to share with you guys.
Good afternoon, everyone, and my name is Brian Kevlahan, and I'm technical support at Cerotech, and when I'm not doing technical support, I'm always scouring, the Internet and every place I can get to look for the latest gadgets. If you didn't know, I have a forum, Gadgets and Gizmos, so feel free to post in that forum or ask questions, and hope everybody participates.
Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Tom, and I am located in the Tampa Bay area in Palm Harbor, Florida, and I must confess I'm new to the internet shopping thing. I've always been a little leery going on and dealing with internet shopping because I got burnt once. So I'm here as an information gatherer to learn some basic tips on how to avoid getting burned again.
Hello, I'm Susan. I live in Western Massachusetts, just outside of Springfield, in a little town called Feeding Hills. I am a shopper, love it, have done a great deal of online shopping. think that's as much fun as going to stores.
Well, with that, I think the first thing we'll ask is, what are some of your favorite sites?
Computers and computer parts, whether it's computer systems or, you know, motherboards and that type of thing to build your computer. And a couple of sites I would suggest going to is either Tiger Direct, just like it sounds, the two words, tigerdirect.com, or newegg.com is another one. Another thing that I'm big into is cell phones. For Sprint and Verizon, they use CDMA, and for that, for the most part, you have to go with their phones. So unfortunately, this really won't be as helpful to you. But for the GSM providers, you don't have to settle for the phone from the carrier. You can get what's called an unbranded, unlocked phone that will work with any GSM carrier. A majority of the phones that can be made accessible with a screen reader actually are not sold at all by the carriers here in the U.S. So what you can do is get what's called an unbranded, you know, unlocked phone. You'll pay slightly more for it than you would getting it from a carrier, but it's well worth it. Me personally, I would never have a phone from a carrier. For unbranded phones, sites that specialize in that, Newegg.com, again, they sell unbranded cell phones. Also, Import GSM. It's importgsm.com. They sell some Windows mobile phones, and they sell a lot of the Nokia Symbian phones. And they actually have an interesting thing where you can trade your phone in, and they will give you discounts, you know, on phones that you get from them. Mobile City Online. Again, just the three words altogether, MobileCityOnline.com. The site is very easy to use. And the last site I'll give you, they carry a ton of different phones. Negri Electronics, NEGRI. ELECTRONICS.com. Their customer service is outstanding. Let me talk about a couple of things with eBay, if I could also. eBay, you can get pretty much anything you want. I've gotten a lot of things off of there, and a lot of people are concerned, and rightly so, about, you know, getting ripped off and that type of thing. I can tell you I never have, personally, and I'll give you just a couple of clues that will help you. First off, make sure that the vendor you're buying from takes PayPal. Because, again, then you're covered. Check the feedback rating. Before I even look at the description, I look at, it gives you the statistics on the seller. If the feedback is very low, like 400 or 500, something like that, I will not buy the item unless it's 100%. Now, when you get feedback up in the higher ranges, like when you get into the 10,000, you know, 15,000, things like that, and especially if they say member is a power seller, then I don't ask for 100% because in that case, that's almost impossible. Generally, then, I would say don't go below 97 or 98% feedback. Fragrances is another thing I'm into. I collect colognes, and I actually have 141 of them. The two I've purchased from are Sentiments.com, and it's spelled S-C-E-N-T-I-M-E-N-T-S.com. Their prices are very good. They're a little bit cheaper than the other two sites I'm going to mention, but their variety isn't as good. They don't carry as many of them. But if they have what you're looking for, then by all means, go with it. The other one I've purchased from is FragranceNet.com. Sometimes their prices are a dollar or two more, but again, their variety is a little bit better. And the third one, I haven't purchased from this one, but I know people who have and have had good results with it, and that's Perfume.com. And they do sell guys' colognes also.
So do you just kind of gamble, or do you go into retail outlets and find fragrances, colognes you like, and then go back and buy them online at a cheaper price, or do you just kind of just take a gamble and then try a new cologne?
Some of it has been a gamble. If I have one or two fragrances by a brand, then I have gambled and gotten, you know, other ones without ever, you know, smelling them or anything, and it's paid off. Sometimes I'll go into the store, yeah, and smell it and then, you know, compare the prices, and you will get them a lot cheaper on the internet than you will at, like, you know, a department store. A lot of the sites, Sentiments does this and FragranceNet does this in most cases. Sometimes it's not available, but they list the ingredients, the notes, as they call it.
Ricky, what goodies do you have for us? What are some portals you like to use?
I've got a couple of things that I really enjoy doing in terms of shopping. Perhaps I'm a little more traditional in my approach. I doubt that any of these sites will be a big shock to anyone, but they are nevertheless wonderful places to shop. The first one is Overstock.com, and it's just like it sounds, O-V-E-R-S-T-O-C-K.com. And this site has a huge variety of things which can range from clothing to electronics. I think they have even cigar humidors, things like that, wine glasses. Again, the selection is just huge, and the best part about it is the prices are considerably less than you'd get in a retail store. The customer service is also wonderful. You can be pretty much assured that shipping will happen quickly whenever you order from this site. The other main place I like to go is Amazon.com, partly for the same reasons that I enjoy Overstock. The huge variety of things that you can get at Amazon are just amazing. You can get anything from books, electronics, CDs. You can get things like groceries. There are reviews on the site for various products that they have, so you can see what other consumers have to say about a product that you're considering purchasing. For parts, I agree with Mike, Newegg, Tiger Direct. The other one I really like for computers themselves as well as accessories and that sort of thing is mwave.com. It's mwave.com. A great number of things computer related. They also have a service by which they will put together your computer. If you have chosen all of your parts and configured things the way you want, and they'll actually build it for you and burn it in and all that fun stuff. There are times when I have a particular product in mind and I want to get the best possible deal on it. So there are a couple of places that I go in order to sort of search for the best deal. The first one many of you may already know about, it's Froogle, F-R-O-O-G-L-E, and as you might guess, it's associated with Google. Enter the model number or the name of the product that you're searching for, and Google will go out and look and return a list of stores and the prices. You can look at several different stores along with the ratings for those stores and find the best possible price with the best possible customer service according to how consumers have rated these particular stores. The other site, which does a similar thing, but I've often found returns even more results than Froogle, is Nextag. That's nextag.com. You can search for the product that you're looking for and get results of stores that carry that product, the rating of the store, and of course the price of the product at that particular store. When shopping on Amazon, do be aware that the Amazon store itself sells quite a bit, but there's also what's called the Amazon Marketplace. The Amazon Marketplace is sort of made up of independent stores or sellers who have particular items but not shipped directly from the Amazon warehouse. So if you're concerned about things being shipped all together and that kind of thing, then you'll want to watch out. Am I getting this from the Amazon store directly or is this coming from a marketplace seller?
Do the marketplace dealers, does Amazon stand behind them with the same level? Or if there is a dispute, is it between you and that third-party vendor? The other thing as far as food, is that non-perishables or use dry ice and meats and things of that sort? You mentioned Overstock. Do they have any kind of protection?
For Amazon, to my knowledge, the food that is sold at Amazon is strictly non-perishable. Typically, what you're buying whenever you buy groceries from Amazon, you're buying things in bulk. So you might have a case of a particular type of chips or popcorn or whatever. As for the marketplace, Amazon does provide some support, but whenever you purchase from a marketplace vendor, it's between you and the vendor at that point. But what Amazon does do, similar fashion to eBay, is they will ask users to rate their transactions with marketplace sellers so that you as a shopper can then view ratings on particular marketplace sellers and make your decision whether to order from them based on other users. With Overstock, they are surprisingly wonderful about being supportive in terms of whether you've gotten the wrong item or whether you've gotten a damaged item. I actually ordered a DVD player with speakers from Overstock 1 year. The unit was damaged, unfortunately. Something may have happened in shipping. They immediately shipped another and sort of left it up to me in the honor system to ship the damaged unit back. So I didn't even have to wait for the damaged unit to arrive at the warehouse before they're sending me my new unit. And it worked out wonderfully because it still got here in time for Christmas.
Tom, what resources would you recommend?
Two particular sites that I've gone to. I've gone to the Bose.com website, and we got some customer service follow-up at roomstogo.com. The only actual online shopping that I've done, I'm a scanner radio buff, the Bearcat Radio Club, bearcat1.com. He's got all kinds of deals for two-way radio systems, intercoms, commercial radio, and, of course, the scanner radios, both from Uniden and from GRE. I have also used the standard blind websites like Speak to Me, MaxiAids, Independent Living Aids, and so on.
Brian, Mr. Gizmos and Gadgets, what websites can you suggest to our great listeners?
Put a plug in here for, of course, blindbargains.com. I like to check that daily because they really do try their best to put forth, you know, the latest in offering sound cards and all kinds of gadgetry, and pretty much are up there as far as knowing what's out there and bringing it to us for the least possible amount of cashola. One thing I wanted to add with the security issues, it's a way to pay, it's alternative way to pay, and it's called Bill Me Later. And what's really cool about that is that you don't have to give any credit card information on the internet, although I've really never had any problems with that. But this is something, and more websites that I'm starting to see are starting to use this more and more, where basically they'll just take your whatever you're buying. If you have a Bill Me account, they automatically know that you have the account, and it's actually provided as a payment option. And as a matter of fact, I just saw it added to QVC of all places. One really cool website, geeks.com, there they offer just, oh, you name it, they have it. They have DTO, built-to-order pieces you can get. They have just a wide variety, a substantial variety of just about anything you could possibly want if you're putting together a system. Very accessible website, very easy to navigate. Another one is called CMS Products. It has hard-to-find pieces that you might not find on the open market or readily available. They don't have it. They'll look for it for you, and they'll contact you if they find it. Overstock is awesome. And one thing that's really cool about Overstock is that products are refurbished, and that's why you get it substantially less. But in most cases, believe it or not, products that are refurbished are actually better than out-of-the-box products because they have gone through their testing, and they are, in most cases, less prone to out-of-the-box defects. And the other one is, of course, Woot. I love to check that daily because they often have things that you don't find normally anywhere else. It's really cool to check back, you know, every day with that one. There's also another one called, very much like Woot, it's called Midnight Box. It's basically they have one item a day.
So, Susan, what sites would you recommend?
I'll share with you a few stocking stuffer websites. The first one is Haband.com. That's a good one for small items, and they're reliable. They don't sell really expensive things. This is just for those last-minute things or things that you're planning for, and you'd like just like something that is nice but small. And the second one is a catalog that's been around forever, and that's HarrietCarter.com. And last but not least is good old L.L. Bean. As a New England person, have to give that one a plug. They sell not just outdoor clothing, but a lot of other nice clothing and some different kinds of things that you might use outdoors, but particularly for travel. One of the things that I have found helpful is using the tracking system. If they tell you they're sending you a package, track it. One time I was looking and looking for a package, it was supposed to come, and I checked on the computer and discovered that, yes, it had come. It was me that didn't find it.
Another one I just thought of, too, and I've bought a couple of books off of this, and I believe they are owned by the same people that own eBay, is a half.com.
Yeah, half.com is great. And Brian, you're absolutely right about the overstock merchandise sometimes being refurbished, and I have never had any problems whatsoever with a refurbished product. One thing I'd like to add about amazon.com, which is great, is if you are shopping for Christmas and you happen to be shopping for someone who is also online and frequents amazon.com, there is the Amazon wish list people can add things to. And so if you're really curious about what to buy for somebody and you're having a hard time figuring that out, Certainly, you can make your own wish list and hope that somebody comes by and feels particularly altruistic and decides that you need that $2,000 piece of equipment and they'll buy it for you.
I think I would echo for computers. I do like Newegg.com. As far as build your own PC websites, I like MagicMicro.com, just like it sounds, MagicMicro.com. They have the nice little configurators with the drop downs for all the parts that you need for your PC, showing you the price as you go, so you can decide, you know, how much you want to spend on each peripheral. Place where I bought this microphone and my mixer board and things of that sort, kind of for musicians or DJs and audio enthusiasts like that, is sweetwater.com. They have free shipping and unconditional 30-day return. The only stipulation, if you do return an item because you didn't like it, is that you do pay for the shipping. So that's very fair and a great way to try out equipment. Is there any information you'd like to convey, maybe things that people should avoid or maybe not do that could cause them problems as they shop for the holidays or any time year-round? Switch to a secure server with the HTTPS up on the screen or the closed padlock. Boring, but kind of helpful, is to take the time reading the terms of service, what they call TOS, because you may be giving consent for them to share your information, including billing information, with third parties. And if you do business on the wrong website, you could find yourself into what some call a buying club, where you start getting items that you didn't want, and then you have to start opting out, and it becomes a mess, and maybe you have to cancel your credit card. Talked about the do's and great places to go, but maybe some don'ts, things that we should try to avoid.
If it sounds too good to be true, assume it is. Better safe than sorry. Trust your judgment. If you get bad vibes about something, there's probably a reason. If you check a lot of price comparisons, of course everybody wants a good deal and, you know, wants to get the most for their money, and there's nothing wrong with that. If something is significantly cheaper, I would be leery of that. Is it damaged? Was it returned? And that's okay if you know what you're getting. If somebody is claiming something is sold new and it's much cheaper, be leery of that. I would definitely do a little more investigation. I would stay away, too, from buying anything that's sent to you via spam email. That's also a good way to get yourself over to a site that can take your information, and it's not a legitimate site. That's known as phishing. A lot of people think, even if they respond and say, "You take me off your list," ironically, that's one of the worst things you can do. If you're using a credit card, make sure it's a secure site. But better than that, even, a lot of sites now will offer you the choice of pay with a credit card or pay with PayPal. If you're offered the choice, go with PayPal. Beware of high shipping charges. For ground shipping, if it's not something super heavy, no more than $7 or $8. Don't save form information in your browser. That's a little more inconvenient because you have to type it in each time. That way, there's no chance of somebody maybe, you know, hacking that information or stealing it from you, or even if somebody else uses that computer.
Do your homework. Figure out where this vendor is in terms of reputation and customer service and quality. I typically buy from people that I know. I buy from people that have a good reputation, that have a solid track record. Find out the particulars about a vendor through the BBB.
If you have a lot of these websites that are loaded into your favorites list, don't assume that those favorites are accurate. It's a good practice to key in directly the URL from time to time and actually refresh it that way, because there are some incidences where, you know, even though the favorites list is built and comprises all of your favorites, those can become redirected. Another safety tip, try to stay away from using links within emails that have the link already pre-posted there, because, again, that can lead to redirection of the actual browser itself. I had mentioned the Bill Me Later. A lot of credit card companies these days can provide what's called a virtual number, where nobody will actually see your actual credit card, but it will be disguised with a virtual credit card.
If you are holiday shopping, do attempt not to wait until December 23rd. Do your homework, not only about the vendor itself, but about the product that you want to purchase. I know that many times we are purchasing things sight unseen. We see a brand name and we think, oh, good, that's it. But one thing that you have to watch out for, sites which will sort of say in the fine print, this is not the real stuff. And in terms of electronics, again, read consumer reviews and that kind of thing, so that you really make sure
you're buying what you want and you're buying something that's likely to last a long time rather than buying something specifically for its wow factor without knowing what's going on under the hood.
Yes, very good point about similar sounding names. Could be a C and a K or just a last letter changed, or S or a Z. Companies will use that little trick of deception. Some people assume that if they buy by a certain date that it's taken care of. And some sites are good at posting that, saying the 17th is the last day that you can buy here and that we guarantee that we can get it to you on the 23rd.
Offline shopping, don't wait till the last minute. Been there, done that. You've got to fight the crowds, plus the fact that there's no guarantee that the item that you're looking for will still be available even on the store shelves.
Be careful, too, about the carrier that you choose. Stay away from DHL. Stick more with UPS and or FedEx.
A lot of times they will be leery about leaving packages if you live in an apartment. First off, find out if they're going to require the signature. What you may want to do is maybe have the package delivered to another address.
In the case of UPS, when you designate delivery options, one thing that you can do, and I've done this on several occasions, is request that no signature be required. That works quite well if you live in a private home.
Don't accept something that you did not want. Some companies will just start shipping you things because they have your information. Ask the carrier, who is it from? And if you didn't order something from that entity, make sure you do not accept it.
Too, if you're shipping, not just buying over the holidays, but let's say you're shipping gifts, nice things about a lot of these companies is that they'll have a bill to ship to. So that'll save you a lot of money. You don't have to actually get it and then reship it.
If you're shipping things to family members or friends, remember that the holidays is a busy time. Take a little extra precaution and pack it more carefully than you would during other times of the year. Things thrown up on the porch. I remember seeing a UPS girl literally kicking a box with a computer in it, just using her foot to push it all the way up to the doorway. So certainly extra precautions in your packing as you're shipping items to family and friends might be a great idea.
Sometimes you can find an item online, and then, if you get a chance, check it out at the store and see if this item that you saw for a lower price is really what you want. Then you can run home and buy the thing if it's something you think is easy to operate or that you think is attractive enough to buy.
When you get a computer shipped, if you can, take the cover off and make sure that the CPU heat sink and fan is in place. I have heard of cases where a person will get a computer, hook it up, fire it up, only to find that the heat sink and the fan have come loose. Most processors will shut themselves down before they overheat and fry themselves, but I wouldn't depend on that.
I certainly think Susan made a great point about checking out things locally. There's nothing quite like actually having your hands on something and getting a good idea of how usable it is, or in terms of clothing, how the material feels. It's much easier to make your decision if you've had your hands on it, and then you can rush home and say, hey, check this out, I get it $50 cheaper than I could have at the store. Although one thing I sort of get caught up in at times is being in a retail store and seeing something that I have seen, say, $20 cheaper online. But then I think, well, there's shipping, which might be $10, and then I have to wait for it to get here. So sometimes even when things are cheaper online, you have to sort of examine whether or not it's worth it to order online, whether you're really saving as much as you think you are.
Know what your return policy is. Know what your restocking fee could be. If you know those things, then there's no guesswork. Also, to beware of extended warranties, because they're not always what they say they are. Just ask a lot of questions. I don't care if you have to stand there for 15, 20 minutes. An informed consumer is a smart consumer. Ask, ask, ask.
Yeah, always keep your packing materials. And you know, when I open something, I try not to damage any of the packaging that goes with it, just in case it's defective and the items need to be returned. Do you have any concern about local merchants? I mean, are you solely focused on getting the best price online? Or will you, if the price is close, consider supporting a local merchant to kind of help the local community?
I tend to look at how much customer care will I receive, how much hands-on support in the actual transaction will I get in purchasing that product. That means a great deal to me, more than getting the best possible cheapest price online. I'm a big advocate of personal service.
It really does depend on what I'm purchasing. If it is electronics, I have almost never found a time when I would prefer to purchase from a retail vendor as opposed to online, simply because the prices do tend to be much higher, and retailers are places like Best Buy or Circuit City that are huge corporate entities, and so even if you are purchasing things locally from them, you aren't necessarily going to get that personal touch anyway. When it comes to things like clothing or jewelry or things that really do sort of require a little more hands-on interaction before purchasing, I definitely would prefer to go with a retailer. And I guess it also depends on who I'm buying for and who I'm with. I love the ability to do online shopping. I don't ever have to worry about being out Christmas shopping with friends and I see something that I want to get for that friend, and I can't really do that in secrecy when the friend is right there with me, whereas now I can order online with complete anonymity. In that way, I consider online shopping to be wonderful.
I think for me too, it depends on the item. There are some things I don't feel comfortable buying online because you really need to see it first. A couple of examples for that are the keyboards that I've got. I am a keyboard player for a hobby. Got a couple of Yamaha keyboards here. I did not want to buy that online because I wanted to kind of check some out and see which one, you know, number one, was going to sound good for me, and number two, that I'd be able to use without seeing it. Another one is a stereo system, because that's very subjective, you know, but the sound quality. Customer service for me, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because it does. It's not the absolute top priority for me, and neither is cheaper price.
Kitchen equipment? If you can't mark it, you probably wouldn't want it, especially if you're giving it as a gift to somebody who is blind or has limited vision. So at those times, sometimes I will buy off the shelf. Maybe I'll go home, as I said, and order it online cheaper, but it really does help to handle some of these knobs and switches to be sure that they're things that you can handle and that you think are sturdy enough for anybody else to handle.
Go a different direction here. Are there any special festivities or any kind of things unique that you do for the holidays that maybe other people don't?
I don't know how many of you are familiar with MIDI music. I'm sure lots of you are. Back when the Usenet news groups sort of became popular, there was a group where people would post MIDIs that they had composed. One year, my husband and I downloaded lots of these Christmas songs done in MIDI. Some of them were very, very well done, and some of them were just absolutely hilarious, and you weren't really quite sure if the person meant to be sort of funny or if it was really an honest attempt that didn't work out quite so well. So every year during Christmas, whenever we are kind of getting together and preparing food and things like that, rather than playing Christmas music from a CD, we will play this group of MIDIs that's gone from hard drive to hard drive for about the past 10 or 12 years. And the other thing that I really like to do is make peanut butter fudge. It's extremely simple to make. I mean, it's basically like peanut butter and powdered sugar and vanilla. You can make it in a microwave-safe container and then pour it into a Pyrex dish and let it cool. And having a six-year-old, this is something that he can be very much involved in terms of having the holiday spirit and making something sweet and yummy that can be wrapped up and given as gifts to other people, and something that the family was involved in making.
My tradition is kind of along the same lines, music-related. I've also got a couple of full-fledged organs, the whole wood cabinet, foot pedals, the whole works. I've actually got two different ones, and they both sound slightly different, and I love to use those around Christmas. But one of them is a bit better at, like, the hymns. It's got more of that churchish sound to it. And the other one is a little bit better with the rock ones, especially, oh, it does such a great rendition of a Jingle Bell Rock. for several years, what I do, what I've done is there's a couple of retirement homes not too far from here, and take one of the portable keyboards over there and play some Christmas tunes. They really get a kick out of that. That's kind of my tradition.
I just love getting together with friends and family and just sitting around and throwing an old movie in the VCR and getting the eggnog going on and just sitting back and reminiscing about the what we've done through the year and what we plan to do, and just all around just having a good time, just sitting back, sharing the time with friends and family.
Two traditions. My church, we're very heavily involved in music. We do full orchestra, vocal ensemble kind of stuff. And we have a yearly tradition that is called Sounds of the Season. And we open it up to the community. We perform it at parks, one particular park nearby, or we also do a dual performance Saturday and Sunday nights at the beginning of December, which we're working on. And that's been a tradition for a very long time. The other thing that Terry and I do, rather than buy for ourselves a whole bunch of stuff that we maybe don't need or what have you, we find either through the church or through her day school that she directs, a family that might not be able to afford Christmas, and we provide a Christmas for them. And that's something that we're continuing pretty much on a yearly basis. We try to make Christmas enjoyable for somebody else, and that's something that we'll always do, I think.
That's pretty awesome, Tom, because I know growing up as a child in poverty, one of, you know, five children and a single mom, and being the recipient of gifts like that from generous people really meant a lot. Two things for me. I like just being somewhere with family or friends. Nice if you got a good fire going, just feeling that warmth and just the fellowship and just that everyone's in a good mood and putting all their troubles aside for a little while. And, you know, as far as the gifts, that's really for the kids. That's tease them, torment them a little bit, and tell them they got to sing first before they can open their gifts.
I have to say, I think it's wonderful to be a part of a community where we all might not even know each other that well, and we can still come in, and it really feels like talking with family. It's kind of cool and lots of fun.
You've been listening to Serotalk at www.serotalk.com. Send email to resources@serotalk.com or leave a voicemail 866-997-BLAB 2522. We may read your email or play your voice in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.